Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Wednesday, the 9th of November. Some really interesting stuff coming down that Jimmy has got organized pretty well on the Biden family. Documentation, banking documents proving that they are taking money and very large amounts of money. Jimmy, I'm amazed that the government doesn't do anything about that. You want to elaborate?
Well, there's three branches of government. One of them is the investigative, and the executive branch
Right. Actually
controls the prosecution of criminals. Legislative branch passes the laws, but it's up the executive branch to follow them. And unfortunately, we've got a corrupt leader in the executive branch, and more information is coming out from the legislative branch through investigation that millions of dollars, over $20 million on the latest document released by the House Oversight Committee, James Comer's committee, showing that foreign money transfers from really kind of interesting characters, the former mayor of Moscow's wife, the Kazakh financial guy, and these are millions of dollars of transfers to Hunter Biden's and Devin Archer's companies. Then that money was then spread out among Biden family members and for no apparent work other than just access to then Vice President Joe Biden.
Yeah, so this goes back to the Obama years. I am very surprised that nobody has done anything about that. And I have to agree with you when you say that our government is simply corrupt right now, and there's no question about that. Who would have thought that somebody like Joe Biden, who'd been in government service for about 50 years, would do something like this? And on top of that, the American people, really, at least those in government, really don't seem to care. They're not doing much about it. Although the FBI agent who admitted, as you mentioned yesterday, which I didn't post that editorial yesterday because it turned out to be pretty sloppy, and that was mostly my fault. I really didn't want to do that. But you want to elaborate again on the FBI agent who admitted wrongdoing, Jimmy?
Well, yeah, let me roll back to your point, though, that the government, the level of corruption that's existing right now in our government, and Joe Biden spending 50 years in government, who would have thought it? Well, that's exactly why 50 years in government, he thinks he has a pass to get away with it, because there is so much corruption, because there is so many people in Washington that take money for influence. It's the entire apparatus is now just completely corrupted by that type of influence. We see it with corporate lobbyists. We see it with foreign lobbyists. We see it with all types of things. And that is at risk when you have a leader that wants to come in and clean that up. And of course, Donald Trump was the guy that thought he might be able to do it. And obviously, he was not successful because they're still attacking him. But one of the methods they used was this entire Russia collusion narrative. And of course, that was created by the DNC. It's known, factually known, the Democratic Party in the Clinton campaign, in conjunction with Perkins Coie law firm and hiring Christopher Steele, a former British intelligence officer, to create a dossier that helped justify legal requests and then illegal requests to spy on the Trump campaign. When that failed, it was that the whole construct was to divert attention away from Hillary Clinton's illegal servers in her bathroom that had classified documents on it, and blame Trump blamed him to say his campaign was coordinating with Russians in order to throw the 2016 election. That was initially a political action, but then was taken up by James Comey and different members of the FBI and the Department of Justice, who ran with it to create the political view that somehow Trump was compromised by Russians. Now, one of the key players in that entire effort was a FBI agent named Charles McGonigal. And he's He actually is now pleading guilty to taking illegal money and not admitting it from who else but the Russians and one of the key members that they used to try to Russian power, I guess, oligarchs to Viktor Danchenko. He was taking money from them. Charles McGonigal is taking money from this Russian oligarch and is now pleading guilty to that in federal court. So using the accusation that Donald Trump was working with the Russians through the FBI head of counterintelligence, this guy Charles McGonigal, now Charles McGonigal is pleading guilty to actually cooperating with the Russians and clearly to impact Donald Trump and undermine our nation.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that right now. Now, the problem is at this point in time, our nation has been undermined. We have lost credibility in the world, and we are really considered to be, for lack of better terms, almost, I don't want to say irrelevant because it would take a long time to get to that point, but I would have to say that it's getting close to that. No question about that, Jim.
I think we're significantly diminished in power and respect around the world. And of course, every time Joe Biden opens his mouth, he makes some sort of mistake. So that's awful. And of course, the level of corruption. People, look, insiders know how the system works. And they want to keep that system intact because that's how they keep their power. And that's how they keep their information. And of course, one of the key elements of that is through the media. And the media has been corrupted and co-opted by Barack Obama and his staff, by liberal ideologies. And they continue to support this administration. They're unwilling to report a lot of the information out there that would give voters a much better perspective on America. They're unwilling to do it because it would take away their own power and their own influence. And that's the reality we're facing.
Well, unfortunately, you're correct. I have a lot of time here to read. I've got a pretty big library downstairs that gives me access to a lot of newspapers, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, etc., etc. And I have to tell you, it is amazing to me that papers with a staff like, for example, the New York Times are really corrupted. I don't know. How do you think that happened, Jim?
Well, it happens over a long period of time.
Right.
Ultimately, it's not holding true to journalistic standards. Journalistic standards would typically require someone to validate their, to show confidence and validate their sources. We see often that the journalists, especially with the New York Times and the Washington Post, they've just taken information from the government without validating those sources, without even questioning them, and just posting them. When I say the government, unless it's the Trump government, and then they completely attack them constantly.
Correct.
So it's a combination of not checking your sources. It's not having research staff willing to do it. It's editors and corporate owners that actually direct the investigations and what you will produce and what you won't produce. And a great example is CNN and Jeff Zucker, when he actually directed people to attack Donald Trump and to undermine him.
Right.
We're seeing that with the Washington Post. You're seeing it with the New York Times. And then the third piece of it, I think, is the lack of proper education in America, especially in journalism schools. Journalists are brought up mostly in kind of leftist ideological vacuums. They aren't allowed to ask questions on the right, especially if you're inside these big urban areas. So they only hire people with their ideological bent. And that ideological bent is really a far leftist view, a socialist Marxist view that's the product for education system right now. And unfortunately, they don't critically think. And of course, they get lost in their own ideology. So the journalists themselves are not capable of actually questioning what they write. And of course, they're driven by editors and they're unwilling to have staffs, or they don't have staffs to do the research to question things. So it's not that they couldn't report these things. It's just they don't. They choose not to report things that would be counter to their ideological narrative.
Well, I personally think it's one basic thing that really is ruining the country right now, and that is, quite frankly, the total dismissal of Donald Trump as a viable and valuable candidate. I would like to, I'll be interested in reading the aftermath of this, particularly of this whole Donald Trump phenomenon, pardon me, in the future, because there has to be a reason other than, or in addition to, he's really probably the only effective whistleblower that we have had as a president. And that, of course, is getting drowned out simply because of self-defense on the people who are involved in that, Jim.
Right. And it's both parties. You know, it's definitely both parties. A lot of Republicans don't like Donald Trump because the left media has created this image that he's some sort of an awful guy.
Right.
They created that image. And of course, they follow it. So they basically, you know, fall into the trap. I mean, it's almost like this UFO issues right now. There's a concerted effort to distract from a lot of negative information on the White House and the Biden family. And this UFO thing is really interesting because it actually suckers people into it. And right. A lot of conservatives fall into the trap because they're basically controlled by what they read in the morning in The Washington Post and The New York Times. And that's – I mean, it's disturbing and disgusting that they can't critically think through these issues.
Right.
And they get diverted and distracted. And, of course, this is the entire Trump effort to discredit him right now is very interesting in my view, Al, because it's – they're attacking Trump and trying to make him the evil. Mm-hmm. But the problem has never the problem has never been Donald Trump. Donald Trump was elected because people were fed up with what was going on, you know, for basically a couple of decades. Well, for a long time, but they had finally opened their eyes after the Iraq invasion in Afghanistan and the failures on the Bush administration, and then the corruption in the Obama administration and the lies where he was trying to be a moderate guy, but he was actually dividing the country.
Oh,
they were fed up with that. They were fed up with the economics. Trump is the result of that anger. So even if they take Trump out, somebody else is going to step up and fill that role. The question is, who's got the fortitude, who's got the financial capacity, who's got the intellect and the capacity to overcome the pressures from this major, you know, effort by the left and the deep state to undermine those voices. And so, again, it's not – they can – you can't cancel 75 million voters or more Trump for 2020. You can't cancel them. You can't intimidate them. As hard as they try, they won't be able to do it. And even if they put Trump in jail, that's not going to stop people from being angry with what's happening with the border, what's happening with the economy, what's happening with free speech, what's happening with our foreign policy. People are still going to be angry. They can't pull the wool over everybody's eyes forever.
Jim, let me ask you a question. You made a comment just very, very recently in the last few minutes about the Bush administration. Do you think that the Bush administration during George Bush Jr., do you think it really was a catalyst in terms of really disappointing? Do you think the Iraq situation and in general the Middle East situation was a catalyst for where we are today?
I do think it was. Yeah. I think it was a big catalyst for it. And I think the reason why is they wanted – look, 9/11, you know, for all those people out there that think it was a conspiracy theory, there are questions that need to be answered.
Right.
I agree 100%.
Right.
But the probability of an insider job to me is extremely low. And that'll upset a lot of our listeners right now. So there was justification in my mind and a long history as an intelligence officer, as a counterintelligence or a counterterrorism guy in special operations to understand what was happening that brought us to that point where Osama bin Laden was basically trying to turn back history. And in his view, in his ideological view, and not just his, but a lot of people's ideological view, the West was expanding and bringing corruption into their communities. So they were angry about it. So that justified in their mind undermining the entire global system. And when they hit the towers, they specifically did it because that was a center of world trade and world information flow. Right. And it was a strategic target, as well as the Pentagon and potentially the Capitol. So they weren't these were not like accidental little things. They were very sophisticated efforts.
You bet.
The Bush administration's failure was to understand how to address these problems. And they thought they could do it with old ideologies and with sending in forces. And Donald Rumsfeld said, oh, we're going to just use two divisions to take Iraq and then we're not going to secure it. And then it became absolutely mayhem. And they failed with that. They sat on Afghanistan. Had they closed those two issues out very rapidly, and I can't say exactly how you could do it, but I have my own ideas.
Sure.
But had they fully occupied Iraq, stabilized it, given it over to a government, there would have been some backlash from regional partners in one respect, but that would have been nowhere near as bad as the 20-year disaster that's been since then. Same thing with Afghanistan. They needed to solve that problem very rapidly, but they didn't and they couldn't. And what that did was open up the opportunity for deep state and for these corrupt ideas of government control and national security processes that took away individual liberties and freedoms and slowly eroded and gave Democrats and liberals and ideologues inside Washington, D.C., and some of Republicans the opportunity to actually take the control that they have taken and manipulate the system to take it away from people's choices. And with that, it was a huge failure on Bush administration to not understand it. I personally think that George Bush had a good heart and was trying to do the right thing, but he failed miserably to understand the implications of the decisions that they made. And his staff failed miserably to do that. And of course, that led the way to a McCain-Obama ticket, which was disastrous as Obama came in. And then, of course, the Republican Party just didn't have the
– no.
I mean, they just were self-destructing, and they continued to do it in some level because, again, the people that want to protect the system over allowing the people to determine their own future.
Jim, I want to ask you a question. What do you mean by a McCain-Obama ticket?
Well, the only – those were the two candidates in 2008. John McCain was a very weak candidate. He was not supported by a lot of people. He alienated. He was the example of old ideology from the right. And when people are losing their jobs to China in Ohio, in Michigan, in Illinois, all these central, the Rust Belt areas, Pennsylvania – and you get a guy like McCain who still is looking at a globalist world and a – globalist ideology and intervention and saying we still got to push these wars, that alienates those people. And they didn't vote for it.
Yeah.
So Obama comes in and wins.
Right.
And of course, we saw 8 years of a controlled system with him, with a basically effectively co-opting the media and the press and then pushing agendas underneath, not publicly, underneath that were against the popular will of the people. And now they've gotten to the point where they're willing to ignore the people, ignore the vote because they can control it. And that – so Obama – Bush led to Obama. Obama led to Trump. Trump was attacked by the same system that allowed Bush and Obama to continue. And unfortunately, we're still living it today.
I would agree with that, and I'm surprised you haven't said that earlier. I got another question for you, Jimmy. The only Middle Eastern country – the only country in the world of any significance, by the way, that pretty much stayed out of this 9/11 thing was Israel. I think that was a good move on their part. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a good move on their part. They've got their own problems. And of course, it used to be, remember, for decades, the Israeli-Palestinian issue was the front page issue all the time. The international issue, Europeans, everybody, and it was, you know, about PLO, it was about terrorism, it was about Israel survival, it was about, you know, anger at the Jewish state and how much money they get, and you know, all these things back and forth for the longest time. Well, yeah, they stayed out of it, and actually their role diminished, but that also undermined the role and the strength of the media's support for the Palestinians. And now we see it kind of up and down. You know, it kind of rolls up and down now.
Yeah.
But basically, that used to dominate all global politics.
You bet.
Even during the Cold War.
Yeah.
Now, how often do you even read about it?
Very seldom. Very, very seldom, actually. It's and pretty much anything you read about or hear about, certainly on this blog, which I think has some value, is that maybe the country deserves it. I don't know. I mean, they are clearly, clearly simply looking out for themselves. And I really, I'm not sure that I blame them for doing that in an individualistic sense. Jim, what's going to change everything? And when I say what's going to change everything, I don't mean being idealistic. I mean, the U.S. is beginning to buckle a bit right now, which we talk about almost every single day, and certainly on the weekend radio show. Certainly our bloggers believe it. It would be interesting for me to see how the radio audience thinks about that. I mean, I really wonder to what extent the U.S. is going to, America, my country, is going to buckle in the next 5 years or so. Got an opinion on that?
Well, okay. Yeah, I do. The last major complete, you know, global shift that we saw was actually World War II.
Yeah.
And the reason why we had World War II is because of this, you know, crisis of confidence in the United States, the course of the Depression, and then, of course, the very, in my view, the very disastrous FDR policies that basically created Social Security, created a lot of, you know, that did not help bring us out, and then ultimately led to failure around the international world. Because of, you know, focusing on our own selves and our own distractions, which created a global war. I don't know how we would fare in one against, you know, an enemy that included China, Russia, maybe Iran, maybe other areas. We would be in a very difficult situation. And
I think we would. I don't think there's any question about that. I think a lot
of that would change the direction of the world.
Yeah. But I think a lot of the chutzpah spirit of the United States that has been dominant in terms of averting major travesties, like, for example, the Hitler movement, I wonder how effective that that particular attitude in the United States is today. I really do kind of wonder about that. And that scares the daylights out of me, Jim.
Yeah, you know, what we're seeing right now is kind of a movement of towards fascist control of our system. And it's a combination of a government and then the corporate entities that support that government and the disenfranchisement of the people. And of course, the goals of the people, the ignoring of that. And of course, it's supported. Most importantly, it's supported by the media, that power vacuum. So that's what we're seeing right now. When the apparently Andy Ngo, you know, who's a reporter that talks anti-Antifa stuff and was attacked in Portland, they took the Antifa people to trial and they just acquitted them yesterday, even though they have facts and pictures and evidence of people attacking him and doxing him. And of course, they were actually attacking and threatening reporters that were reporting on the trial. But in places like Portland and places like Seattle, where the mayor says he doesn't want to hire white people or former military for the law enforcement, and you know the people like in LA that say it's racist to, I think the LA Times, one of its most recent articles is saying that it's ending remote work is racist. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, how ridiculous are we getting when people are being fired because they stand up for what they believe, and people are being because they pray by themselves on the football line, you know, the Kennedy, he gets axed and then has to go to the Supreme Court after 7 years to get his job back. I mean, these things are happening all around the country.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you see, a slow movement towards kind of that same fascist ideology. And unfortunately, it's not Nazism, but it's very close to it. It's more like a the Red Scare, like a Maoist Little Red Book time, a Cultural Revolution, or possibly
I would call it the negative aspects of capitalism are really coming out right now.
It's and not I, capitalism, though, Al. Don't argue that it's capitalism. This is not capitalism. This is actually socialism. It's actually managed systems and managed economies.
Well, when I'm talking about a couple of very specific issues, Jim. One of them is the money that many government officials, led by the President of the United States, are putting in their own personal coffers.
That's bribery, though. Let's don't confuse that with capitalism.
All
that's
right.
Bribery.
Okay, I stand corrected. Jimmy, we've been going almost 27 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Anything else you want to bring up?
Oh, no, there's a lot of stuff out there. I think people ought to keep paying attention to it. And, hopefully we don't bore them off for this 27 minutes. But Trump is leading right now in national polls by 3 or 4 points over Biden, which is pretty interesting that they're trying to attack him. This will not go over well with the population.
No, I would agree. I think the papers, the news right now is getting to be more and more interesting. It's a shame that we have to go to what I consider to be alternative sources as opposed to the major press. But we really do have to go to alternative sources, no question about that. And we've already talked about what we think are the most important alternative services out there. Consumer free or citizen free press for one, CPM, and Daily Liberty, etc. What do you think about some of the others, Jim? What else do you pay attention to?
So, I mean, there's a lot. The Federalist I watch because they're very sophisticated. They're professional.
Yeah, right.
I read John Solomon's Just the News. I think that's very good. Every now and again, you look at Breitbart. And I do look at the mainstream media sources because I want to see what they're talking about.
Well,
what the direction is.
Yeah, you have to.
Citizen Free Press, Liberty Daily, some of these other sites I think are valuable. Revolver's another one that people can take a look at to give you a different view than the mainstream media is willing to present.
Well, unfortunately in America, or fortunately, I guess for some people in America, you have to go to those sources right now. Our bloggers have been doing it for years, and I'm starting to do it constantly. Jim, it's been a pretty good editorial in my opinion. I'll get it posted right now.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Al.
See you, Jimmy.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.